Welcome to News Video Clip. Representative Thomas Massey is a Republican from Kentucky, and he co-wrote this law that requires the Department of Justice to release the Epstein files. And ever since he co-wrote that law, Fox News has hated his guts, and the Trump administration has hated his guts. So Fox News, every now and then, they send a reporter after him for one of these lame, try to gotcha interviews. It's basically an ambush interview. So here's this Fox News stooge, Nicholas Blase, and he tries to corner Thomas Massey out on the street and ask him this false story about Massey supposedly paying off an ex-girlfriend, supposedly making her sign a non-disclosure agreement. Okay, none of that is true. So what I love is Thomas Massey turns it around and asks Nicholas Blase, this Fox News stooge, if it's true that he likes gay porn. This video is awesome. Let's watch.
So let me ask you, I heard that you like gay porn. Is that true?
Carson, I just want to give you a chance. Your
I'm
side.
You a chance a, to give
I'm
me
not,
your
I'm
side.
Not gonna get into
Are you a real news organization or not? Well, come back, man. All you got to say is you don't like it. That you haven't been to those websites.
Of course. All right. Of course I don't like it.
Really?
But thank you.
That's not what I've heard.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, that was my question.
Just giving you a chance to respond. That's all.
Oh. And you're with Fox?
Thank you.
Is that a real news organization? Is this what you do for a living, man?
So I just love Thomas Massey here. He is completely mocking this pretend journalist, Nicholas Blase. Now, I went on social media today, and I tried to ask Nicholas about this video, but I couldn't because Nicholas is blocking anyone who tries to comment on his Twitter X page. So Nicholas runs away in real life, and he runs away on social media. Maybe Nicholas Blase needs to grow some balls because the guy is a total coward and he's absolutely has no spine whatsoever. He's a joke. He's not a real journalist. Okay, let's go up to Nebraska. And up in Nebraska, these ICE agents accused a Venezuelan immigrant of trying to choke an ICE agent. The only problem is the video actually shows the ICE agents are choking the Venezuelan immigrant. So let's watch the video. And here you see one of the ICE agents has his right arm underneath the immigrant's throat. That's a choke hold. He's actually using two arms. And then he lets him go. And then they stand him up. And then they wrestle the immigrant again down to the ground. And now the second ICE agent, he's going to put his forearm right underneath the immigrant's throat. That's a chokehold. So there you see it, folks. ICE agents using a chokehold twice on this video. And they're accusing the immigrant of trying to choke somebody. Anybody want to try to explain that logic to me? All right, here's the article from Nebraska Public Media. And they write that this Venezuelan immigrant, Gabrielle Hurtado Casaro, who's 31, was referred to by Trump's DHS, Department of Homeland Security, as a criminal illegal alien. And he's a known terrorist. And they also claim that he violently attacked an ICE agent and tried to choke them. At a preliminary hearing, a Department of Homeland Security agent claimed that this immigrant received, quote, special forces type training in the Venezuelan military, and he may have been involved in, quote, killing people and hurting people. However, the government story actually fell apart when the immigrant was taken to court. It turns out that he legally sought asylum at the U.S. border in June 2023. In 2024, he was granted a work authorization and he was given an upcoming immigration court date. He even told immigration during an interview in El Paso, Texas, that he deserted the Venezuelan military because of his disagreements with the Maduro regime. Now, why does that sound so familiar? Disagreeing with the Maduro regime. Oh, wait a second. Now I remember. Trump sent the U.S. military into Venezuela because he didn't like the Maduro regime. So it's okay if the 34-time felon in the White House doesn't like Maduro, but it's not okay if an immigrant doesn't like Maduro? Is that how the logic works these days? It's ridiculous. All righty, now we're going to go over to Texas. And here is Representative Brandon Gill, who is a hardcore racist. He said a lot of racist things on Twitter X about Muslim Americans and Indian Americans and how they should be deported and all this nonsense. So Representative Brandon Gill, he posts this meme of a picture of himself, and he writes, "The left has one debate tactic, call you a racist and pray you shut up, but I never will." Oh, aren't you brave, Brandon? Aren't you the brave victim? Well, here's an interesting response from Congressman Sheree Thandar, who writes, "No one is calling you a racist in an attempt to scare you into shutting you up. We call you a racist because you refer to Indian Americans as 7-Eleven workers." Somebody else wrote, "Being proud of being racist is certainly a choice." Somebody else also wrote, "That doesn't mean it's okay to be a racist." And then somebody else finally wrote, "I keep forgetting this guy, Brendan Gill, is a legitimate member of Congress and that this is not a satire account." So Brendan Gill is one of these racists who likes to try to play the victim card. He likes to whine and cry about being called a racist. And sorry, Brendan, but you're a racist and we're not going to stop calling you a racist. Too bad. All right, now we're going to go over to the I've Had It podcast. And they found a story on ProPublica about how the Trump administration has been using this secret thing called the shadow docket at the U.S. Supreme Court to get some of their more controversial policies passed. They can't get these policies passed through Congress because they're so extreme that even Republicans won't vote for them. So here's Josh Welch at I've Had It to explain how the shadow docket works at the U.S. Supreme Court.
And ProPublica has done some incredible reporting on SCOTUS's shadow docket. Pop this up. "Our new analysis found that the Supreme Court is deciding more cases through largely unsigned orders than through its standard procedure. Many have allowed the Trump administration to enact some of its most controversial policies." Josh, tell the listener and viewer about what the Supreme Court is doing and how they are undermining even conservative-appointed federal judges that are upholding the rule of law.
This is an interesting piece by ProPublica, and it shows that for the first time in the history of the court, that the Supreme Court has issued more opinions, 63, on the shadow docket versus merit opinions, which is where the court's fully briefed and hears and receives oral argument by attorneys. That's jaw-dropping because the shadow docket, as we know it, is basically the court issuing an order unsigned by any justice without any legal precedent to support, whereby it oftentimes overturns lower courts in favor of President Trump.
And hang on, one quick question. Do these rulings on the shadow docket, are they so outrageous because they are overturning precedent without explanation?
They're overturning a previous court's examination of a case, and the lower court, the appellate court, oftentimes has received multitude of briefing and legal issues presented and oral argument, and the attorneys appear in person, and so they have a wealth of knowledge and information about the case, and then it goes to by application to the Supreme Court, and then the Supreme Court, oftentimes you'll see in less than one paragraph without citing any legal authority, will overturn something, and it's not just something of little significance, it's something of great magnitude. You know, for example, one of the black majority districts in Louisiana recently they basically just take the pen and strike whatever it is they don't like, and it's dangerous. And for the first time, we've got more opinions on the shadow docket, more law presented by the Supreme Court on the shadow docket than we do via the normal appellate procedure. And let's try to put it in context. When Bush and Obama were both presidents, I think they applied for applications on the shadow docket a total of 8 times over a period of 16 years. Trump alone in 2025 has applied to the shadow docket 32 times. So he uses that, and I think he's trying to do it again. You know, he's got this $5 million judgment against him in a defamation case. Well, he's trying to take that to the Supreme Court. Anything he can do to get to the Supreme Court so that they can help him out without having to explain why and how they're doing it, he's trying to do.
And let's not forget, the Supreme Court is filled with 6 right-wingers and only 3 normal people. So Trump's policies are so unpopular, he can't even get them through Congress. He can't even argue them in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. He has to go around through this secret shadow docket and get a quick decision from the 6 right-wingers at the U.S. Supreme Court, just as Josh Welch explained. So it's pretty sleazy. Alrighty, we have links to that story and all of our other stories right below this video. Unlike the right-wing podcasters, Kristen Hawkins, Riley Gaines, Joe Rogan, Benny Johnson, Tim Pool, Jimmy Dore, all those people are paid influencers. They're literally given talking points that they're paid to parrot. They have absolutely no legitimacy. They never back up their stories. We do. All right, I want to thank everybody who has subscribed to this channel. Thank you guys so much. Seriously, I really appreciate it. If this is your first time watching, please like and subscribe. If you hate this podcast, please hate it and subscribe. If you hate me, definitely hate and subscribe. All right, we'll be back later with more stories. And have a safe 4th of July.